This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today on this Tuesday? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, and we are up and at 'em here in Atlanta, ready for day number two of SEC Media Days, right there from the College Football Hall of Fame, and right next to the Omni, right here downtown Atlanta. So we're so excited for you guys to be joining us on the Bama Central Facebook page, on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You find us on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. You find us right there on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you find your podcast. And I appreciate everybody who has downloaded the show, rated, reviewed, subscribed, all that good stuff, as we're in for another big day right here on BamaCentral.com. Yesterday, Theo, go to the website real quick and do a little count. Starting from my article all the way through today's cover, did we hit 15, 20, 20? So I think we're at 20-something articles with all the Will Miller baseball draft stuff, all the NFL, SEC Media Days Day 1 stuff. It was a huge day on Bama Central, and we're looking to go back-to-back right here in Atlanta. As you can tell, we're not in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We're live right here in the hotel room, and we're revived for day two. Theo Fernandez, massive trooper yesterday, battling through a little stomach bug, and he looks up and at him today. But we're live in a hotel room in Atlanta, parts unknown. We won't tell you exactly where we are in Atlanta, but we want to thank Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program. You call Derek for your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Home, life, auto insurance. I can't wait to get back in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. I think I let it slip yesterday that I will be getting a new car at the end of the month. So Derek Daniel is going to be helping me get new car insurance. He's going to take care of that so fast. And obviously, he knows exactly where to take your car. If you've got issues, if you're in an accident in the West Alabama area, Derek Daniel can help you out, mitigate those problems, and get you back to your life. So call him, 205. 758-3391. With that said, we invite you to jump on and join us on the comment section at JoeGaither6, at Theo Fernandez double underscore, or you can leave us a phone call, 205-462. Right, exactly. Feel free to jump on in. 462-7340, extension 800. It's right there on the bottom of the screen as well. As you can tell, we're doing things a little bit differently, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Theo and I were in the College Football Hall of Fame, and let's just start right there, Theo. That was the first time that I've been in the Hall of Fame. Now, I didn't get to walk around everything just because I was a little bit overwhelmed. I'll admit it. I walked in, and I was like immediate sensory overload. Where do I go? Where can I get a seat? But it was cool. All the helmets on the wall. I did take a photo of the Wyoming helmet so that I can send it to my EA Sports College Football 26 guys because I picked up the Wyoming Cowboys this year. But it was really, really cool. You had exhibits for LSU, Vanderbilt. You had exhibits for South Carolina. And who was the other team that we saw yesterday? LSU, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. And Ole Miss. Oh, cool. Yeah. How can you forget about Ole Miss? Hottie toddy. Lane was so good. What did you think about the College Football Hall of Fame setup, that sort of thing?
I thought it was awesome.
And absolutely. Good morning. You feeling good?
I'm feeling good. Look, I'm coming off my Jordan flu game right now. You know, I came out.
He powered through it.
I got it done. I did not enjoy a single part of that day, but you know what?
I'll tell you this. I would have been the biggest baby in the world. I'd have said, go on without me. I'm dead. I'm dying. So,
hey, look, now I'm back. I'm refreshed. We're going to run this SEC Media Day today at Bama Central. But honestly, I think it's so telling that, you know, SEC Media Day is at the College Football Hall of Fame because this is college football. I mean, Greg Sankey opened up by talking. He gave like a
propaganda artist.
Exactly. It's propaganda, but you got to remember, that's probably the single most powerful person in college football right now. I mean, it runs everything. And we had that whole debate for so long about will the SEC have play 8 or 9 games. That was a huge focal point of what Sankey said. When you actually think about it, that debate, it has implications for everything revolving around the sport. I mean, the SEC, whatever their decision is, that affects the rest of the nation. That affects, Clemson might not be playing South Carolina anymore. And Alabama may be canceling future series with Ohio State, Virginia Tech that are on the schedule. Like, it has the shockwaves that will be sent through the nation either way are so profound. So it really is just so telling when you remember that this is the mecca of college football right here. You know, this week, this gathering of coaches and players.
The mecca of college football with the Mercedes-Benz Superdome right, you know, behind us over there. So you're exactly right. And why don't we start with Greg Sankey? Because I did think that he was up on the podium. How do we put it nicely, Theo? Basically saying mine is bigger than yours. the entire 45 minutes was, you know, complimentary to this, to that. But it was essentially, we run the sport. He talked about the need for the college athletes to be college athletes, to be working towards academic progress, insinuating basically that we're not going to be doing any of this extra years of eligibility, or at least the administrators want to fight against these extra years of eligibility. You get 5 years to get it in. I thought that was one big point that he made. I thought that he really talked. I mean, he opened up the 8 or 9 game schedule conversation, but quickly, I think, shut the door into it not mattering, saying, oh, we play 8 conference games, but all of our league members played a 9th Power 4 school. And he said, and some of them even played a 10th Power 4 school. And so, really, I think he said, we can afford to only play 8 because we're playing tough out-of-conference schedules. Which I don't know if it's entirely true for the whole league. You look at some schools, and they don't have a marquee. You know, Georgia, we're going to hear from them today. They've got Georgia Tech every single year. So they've got a Power 4 school baked in. Kentucky, you've got Louisville. You mentioned South Carolina's got Clemson. Florida's going to either have Miami or Florida State really every other year. And sometimes both. Sometimes both, so credit to them. Look, Greg Byrne right here, the team we all care about. Greg Byrne has been doing an amazing job. Nick Saban used to get the early marquee game in the neutral site, and Greg Byrne has just carried basically a scheduling philosophy for a lot of home and homes. This year, Alabama has what? 10 power. Yeah, you've got Florida State and Wisconsin, so that's 10. And you get the 2 cupcakes if you want. But Shane Beamer coming up later was like, you know, everybody talking 8 conference games. We don't want to go to 9 because we've got Clemson. And who's going to, you know, we've got Clemson. So, and then we get those 2, you know, whatever you want to call it, games. I'm like, you know, what we need to do is move it up to 9 and just tell the team, tell the whole league, you only get 2 poo-poo games. You only get the 2. You go find your Power 4 opponent for that 10th, and you only get 2 bye games. Go schedule. Yeah, exactly. Schedule yourself. Games. If you're Alabama, schedule yourself South Alabama. Schedule yourself Jacksonville State. You need to follow a little bit the LSU model. You know, Brian Kelly was up there talking yesterday about in-state schools. They're playing Southeastern Louisiana. They're playing, you know, the cupcakes of the state of Louisiana. He was talking about revenue. I think that
Troy should be coming up on a regular basis to play at Brandon.
Troy, South Alabama, Alabama State. You know, Auburn plays Alabama State a good bit. You get Jacksonville State.
Alabama.
Does UNA have a team, the Tigers?
I believe they have an FCS. It's an FCS, but like, we're playing Eastern Illinois this year. So it's like, why would we bring in a team all the way from Illinois when there's a team right in the state? And I agree. I don't really get it.
I'll tell you why. It's politics. the old reason that I was given, and if you're an older listener and you disagree, please jump in on the comments or leave me a voicemail, 205-462-7340, extension 800. The older narrative was Coach Bryant didn't want to give a foothold to the UABs of the world.
Really?
If you know, at the time we're competing in recruiting, we want all the best in-state prospects. That was the old narrative that I was always told, was that you don't want, because what happens when you get beat by the one-off, right? The one-off, yeah, that they hang the banner forever and ever and ever. I mean, App State's still talking about beating Michigan.
Yeah, sure.
And who did, was it did Troy beat LSU?
Troy beat LSU, yeah.
Right, exactly. So that was always the fear. If you're going to lose one of these games, if it's going to be a one-off, let it be to Western Tech, school from out of state, way away, that we don't have to compete with the recruits. But I think that's an antiquated. I think that's from a different time. I think that's from when, you know, all the recruiting was regional. I think that's an antiquated perspective. I would love to get UAB coming down, Troy coming up, and Jack State. You know, you're only going to get two of the games. So schedule Alabama State and schedule Troy, wax them both, give them both some money, and raise the revenue, raise the whole economic value of the whole state.
And yeah, that's going to continue to benefit you indirectly. I mean, I don't know if trickle down effect is the right word here, but you're boosting, a bunch of money's coming into Montgomery. They're able to subsidize some more football stuff in the community, and you know that some of those kids are going to eventually cut. So, yeah, I'm fully on board with what you're saying there, Joe.
So I think it was a fun, interesting conversation about the 8 versus 9 games. But I think what you heard yesterday was just a lot of spin zone, was just a lot of, we're protecting our own. South Carolina, we can't go to 9 because we play Clemson. And if we go to 9 games, we're still going to play Clemson. These other schools, pointing fingers, are going to have 3 cupcake games and we only have 2, and that's not fair. Just get in the conference office and say, look, guys, we don't care who it is. We're playing 9 games. Because my biggest gripe with the current 16 teams, one league, you know, one standing system, is the fact that I think the schedules are going to dictate who is at the top of the conference standings. How many times? Who's going to Georgia? Who's coming to Alabama? What draw did you get? Are you going to Texas or not? Do you get Oklahoma instead? Is, you know, some of these powers that be, who's down? You know, I think the schedule, I mean, we're going to hear from Texas today. They get Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Okay, and I mean, no shade. They've got Oklahoma, Georgia, and Texas A&M. Exactly. So they get three top-end teams, but they also get 3 bottom-end teams. Who avoids the bottom end and has to play the mid-level and the high-end SEC squads? I think the schedule is imbalanced at such a degree that you go 9 games and it helps to create a little more balance. And you just tell them, Greg Sankey, you just tell them, you got to go and play 10 Power 4 games. Alabama doesn't have a non-conference rival like Georgia, like South Carolina, like Louisville. So you go out and find, and you play your Florida State. You play your Wisconsin. And look, Alabama would be at a disadvantage this coming season if you were playing 9 games.
It would be just about every year.
Right. You can – these schedules wash out about 2033, 34 when you're – like they're extended – you've got West Virginia on the schedule. You've got Oklahoma State on the schedule. You've got Arizona State on the schedule.
Oklahoma State, which that's not as big anymore.
Yeah, but like they're Power 4. You've got a loaded non-conference schedule till about 2034. I think that there's an easy way to, you know, just bite the bullet, give the people good football, play tough. I mean, be ripping. If it just means more, stop playing these dang cupcake teams. So go ahead.
Okay, I mean, this is just incredible because they have 2 Power 4 opponents on the schedule every year from now until 34. So I didn't realize. It's 2.
It's West Virginia. Who else?
So we've got West Virginia, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame,
yes,
Georgia Tech, Arizona, Minnesota, Boston College.
Love it.
And it's just incredible because, I mean, under this system, that's 11 games.
Great. Bring it on. That's what football should be.
I agree.
I don't want to see us play Western Tech Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. I have no interest in that. And people say, oh, well, the boys need it for a rest week. Get out of here. You got two bye weeks now. You got two bye weeks. And all these young men want to go play in the NFL where it's a 17-game regular season and then playoffs. It's if you're going to ask for the fans to keep forking over dollars every single turn, at every single turn, oh, nothing is free anymore, which is, I mean, fine. That's the way of the world.
It's going to happen.
Then give them a good product to go watch. And even, you know, you listed Boston College, you listed Georgia Tech. I mean, that Georgia Tech game is going to be – it's going to be higher anticipated than it should be because of the history between Alabama and Georgia Tech, not because Georgia Tech is good.
Yeah.
You'll be able to handle Georgia Tech. You'll be able to handle Boston College. Like this year, next year, you got your last game against USF, USF in that series. They're coming back to Tuscaloosa next year in that 2-for-1. So it's going to be I just love the schedules. And I think that Greg Sankey, to kind of wrap this up, was basically in spin zone. We don't have to move to 9 games. We can stay at 8 because our conference is so good. Our 8 games are worth more than their 9 games. Oh, yeah, by the way, most of our conferences are playing good power force good. I mean, who did Indiana have that last year as their non-conference opponents? Yes, they played 9 conference games, but who were their non-conference? They played I think they played Eastern Illinois. They played just 3 little sisters of the poor. And
are you reading my mind right now?
Are
that's,
you?
That's bring up breaking news from yesterday. Illinois canceled future matchup with Virginia to schedule Austin Peay. Like, I mean, that. And this is why someone like Shane Beamer, I think, should be allowed to go out there and complain because, yeah, you know, they were that close to getting that last spot over SMU. So I understand it. Don't get me wrong. And one of the things that Sankey did say was that getting clarity on how strength of schedule is going to be evaluated will be decision maker. So I understand the perspective of, oh, you know, look how hard our games are. But at the same time, it's like, if you really want to continue to be viewed as the undisputed best conference, as the center of college football, as the conference that runs things, like the past results suggest, at a certain point, just man up and play the schedule, right?
Well, I'm sorry, but the average college football fan does not look at, oh, you're also playing Wisconsin and Florida State, Alabama? No, they stop at you played 8 conference games.
And they look at, oh, it's November and you're playing FCS teams. Yeah?
Exactly. Oh, you're bringing Eastern Illinois in before your 3-game stretch?
This is the toughest conference. I mean, and look, as someone who spent the first 17 years of his life as an SEC hater, as someone who would pull, I used to run a page on Instagram called Big Ten Report, and we would spam the SEC's posts with like anti-SEC propaganda. So all these tricks in the book. It's like when they bring like a former KGB agent in to work against, you know, Russia. So I've played this game for a long time, and it's, you know, no matter how you do it, no matter what decision you make, you're never going to satisfy the SEC haters. There's nothing that will placate them. So I'd say play the 9 games. And the big thing that we haven't even brought up, preserve those rivalries. I mean, does anyone here, we've talked very little, surprisingly, about Alabama today.
We'll get there.
But does anybody watching this in Tuscaloosa want to give up playing LSU every year?
No.
No. And for Alabama, it's not even as big a problem as it is for some other schools. No matter what, okay, Auburn, Tennessee, those games aren't going anywhere. If you're a school like Missouri, if you're a school on that level where, okay, maybe you don't have quite as many premier in-conference rivalries, you're at risk of losing everything. Because you can't satisfy everyone when you're not preserving all the games, when you don't have the three permanent opponents. I think the perfect system, 9-game schedule, and every 10 years, every decade, you can reevaluate, okay, who should a team's three rivalries be? Maybe things will change. Maybe LSU dies off a little. Maybe Alabama, they say, okay, we want Alabama to play a different school every, you know, year. But I would be completely dissatisfied with anything other than a 9-game conference schedule.
Lane Kiffin yesterday, people will say, well, this conference plays 9 games, this plays 8 games. I don't think that anybody would trade their 9 games and want to come play our 8 games that you play down here and the places that you play down here. You can have teams that aren't really having a good year for them, but you got to go play at their place down here. It's just different. Scheduling here in this conference and what you do week to week and the NFL draft shows that too. Those are the players you're playing against. It's so balanced throughout the conference that every week you've got to really show up. It's really like the NFL, and I don't feel like that's the case in these other conferences or a really good conference similar to us that's top-heavy but doesn't have the middle and bottom like we do. Lane Kiffin also suggesting that the College Football Playoff Committee be reworked to media members and other people. What did he say? You wouldn't have Robert, he said, get rid of the ADs, right? He said, you wouldn't have Robert Kraft deciding if the Miami Dolphins got in the playoff or not. I'm like, you're right on that.
I agree, you know.
So it was a lot of fun yesterday. You want to talk about the Alabama's topic that came up, like, right off the bat? Man, Greg McElroy opened up a can of worms on his show, Mac and Cube on WJOX in Birmingham. A lot of you guys probably check that out pretty frequently. And great stuff, right? But Greg McElroy says, oh, I have a source. Someone told me that I trust that they said that Nick Saban's going to come back and coach. And he was pressed on it. He was like, well, I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't somebody I trust. And he keeps, okay. But I don't think it's true, Greg. Basically, quickly, it was like, I think he's done. Paul Feinbaum, oh, I think he's done. But it became just this, I don't know. Do you think Greg McElroy was just like, let me be in the headlines on the first day of SEC Media Days?
I can't imagine that he's genuinely just making. I mean, that's what people seem to think.
No, I don't think he's making it up, but I think that the person that his source, he said he's a high dot. He said he's in the know, this, that, and the other. But I think that if Greg, if read the tea, he's not coming back to coach. He's not coming back to coach. My theory is that, you know, we do a version of radio right here. Sometimes you need 10, 15 minutes of fodder to get, and we got plenty today, thanks to you, Greg McElroy. But
it just seems like, I don't know, if you're just trying to schedule a time to get your name in the system, it's a weird time to choose. You know, why not, you know, you're about to be overshadowed by others. I don't know. I don't think it makes – I just don't think this is a publicity thing or anything. I think someone genuinely went and said, like, hey, Greg, like, I'm hearing this. Who it could be? I have 0 clue.
Genuine. Well, you got to consider. Okay, sure. They probably are genuinely hearing that from someone. But you get, I mean, Nick Saban's 73 years old. He's been retired now for one season. This coming up year will be 2 seasons. Look at all the reasons that he retired. Look at what he's doing now. Look at the system of college football. It's still, that was another big thing, theme from Greg Sankey, was all the changes in such a short amount of time. He's still not settled. He's not, to me, he's not coming back to coach college. And does an NFL organization take him at 74 years old? Do you have, you know, do the Jets fire Aaron Glenn after just 1 year?
Saban wants to coach the NFL. Someone will get
it. Of course it will. But it just doesn't make any sense. Is he going to go be take over the Seahawks job and coach Jalen Milroe again? Like, none of it makes any sense to me. After I counted 28 years of college head coaching, and obviously, what, 3-4 with the Dolphins, 2.5 basically with the Dolphins. it just doesn't make any sense to me. But it went off the rails. You know, they asked Damian Harris, and Damian gave his take about, oh, well, I don't think he's going to come back because of the rules. And Paul Feinbaum goes, oh, I think he's enjoying the golf course too much, and he's getting to play all these golf courses he never got to play. And obviously, public speaking engagements, he gets probably paid a pretty penny every time that he steps on stage somewhere. And then he gets to cut around on Saturdays, basically.
The best football game every week. And everyone that's booed him his whole life is loves him. I don't know. I don't think life gets much better than what Nick Saban has right now.
You got Miss Terry as well, who has real – I mean, a coach's wife is a coach's wife is an angel in disguise, really, and a good coach's wife is, you know, a double angel, really. And Miss Terry, from the outside perspective, was all in on the coach's wife trope, and so I think that she was. I believe that she's a great woman. I think that there's a bit of Coach Saban that's okay. We need to enjoy the marriage. They've got the Saban Center there in Tuscaloosa that they're really working to build, and he's getting donations from all kinds of, you know, big fat cats all throughout industries unknown to build that. I just don't think that it makes any sense for him to return to coaching. What I could see is him picking up a high school job where the rules are set. And where he's just coaching X's and O's and yelling at little Billy, yelling at Johnny, you know, get your head in the gap. Yeah, just throwing that straw at. But I think even that is extremely far-fetched. So the headlines go crazy right before Greg Sankey even starts, because McElroy says, I've got a source that tells me. Sometimes, you know, you get people that tell you stuff all the time.
Mace, Saban could have casually mentioned to a friend somewhere in passing, oh, I miss coaching a little bit. That may be all we're going off here.
Right.
I mean, you'd expect him to miss coaching, but it doesn't mean he's going to go right in. And obviously, this is pure speculation, but I'm still. I mean, maybe I could see, we've seen how he's had involvement with Alabama. Maybe another school somewhere says, hey, we want you to take a bigger role.
Does Alabama just rehire him as a DB coach when Mo Linguist moves on to get a real defensive coordinator job this coming up year?
I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. Can you imagine?
Hey, coach, we'll handle all the BS. You just come out every day, coach the DBs, and go home.
Oh, people would have a field day talking about Kalen DeBoer.
Oh, my gosh. Kalen DeBoer can't do it by himself. Oh.
I'm still genuinely baffled by the reaction to Saban taking over so Kalen DeBoer, taking over recruiting so DeBoer could go to his player's sister's here. Was that not insane?
Oh, well, DeBoer can't recruit. He had to bring in Saban to get all these five stars on the hook. And it's like, look at it a little deeper. Coach DeBoer was at a funeral.
Then I forget which of the players that you had on the show said, oh, yeah, like never even talked to Saban. Like, because I remember you and Mason asked him.
I think it was Ryle Kelly.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. And it was because, not to disrespect Mason, but Mason gave me, oh, he was on the weekend that Saban was here. And Ryle said, oh, I was there the weekend before, actually. And I never even met him.
So it's not like Saban's living. Like, it's not like he's there every single weekend talking to guys. He's filled in for a week.
Crazy. But yeah, oh, my God. What do you pay? If you're DeBoer, do you do it? Do you add him to the staff as DB's coach?
Yes. Not even. It is the easiest decision I've ever made in my life if I'm Kalen DeBoer.
You're like, heck yeah, we'll add you, coach. What do you not want to do? We'll handle that part. What parts do you want to do? We'll fit around you. You still want to go to College game day every week? Okay, we'll get a substitute DB coach on Saturday.
Just make it to the game by halftime. Look, if McElroy was doing this for publicity, that's all. We're at SEC Media Day, and we've spent 15 minutes talking about this. So, very good publicity, if it is. But no, I think there's truth to the rumor. I do.
Truth to the rumor that somebody told him this, or truth to the rumor that coach is going to come back and coach?
The first one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he – I do think that this is something, oh – Source A told me that he thinks Coach Saban's going to come back. But, Greg, you got to filter it a little bit and think, no, it's not going to happen.
Because if you go on, if you look at my X feed the past 24 hours, McElroy's public enemy, or Brian Kelly's public enemy, number one. McElroy's number two. Ryan Kelly's been getting some hate. But, yeah, now people not happy with McElroy either.
Well, I usually like Greg. I really do. I think that he gets a little bit too much hate in the Alabama sphere because he tries so hard to stay objective all the time and not give the Alabama fans the sugar. Sometimes you need the vinegar. Sometimes you need a little bit of truth, right? And I think Greg does toe that line pretty well. So we'll see what happens today. I'm sure it's going to get brought up another 10 different times, but in 10 different ways. Lane Kiffin basically ended his day saying, no, I think he is going to come back and coach. But Lane, I mean, is that Lane just being a bleepster? I mean, because Lane was on stage poking his fun at Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah. What was it? He was like, he said that, I bet he's pretty good at golf or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he said it was about the fishing stuff. Some people have thought that I'm poking fun at Hugh Freeze, but this goes back many years. He said this goes back many years. Hugh Freeze posted a photo of him catching a fish, and so every time I go fishing, I post a photo back to show, hey, I caught a bigger fish. I think he was speaking in code the whole damn time, the entire time. What is a fish? A big five-star? A recruit? I think it was absolute code the whole time. And it was like, you know, I hear he's been getting a lot of his golf in. I'm sure that's going really well for him. I can't go fishing every day, but when I do, we make sure we try to catch a big one. He's not a huge recruiter. It's always transfer to the SIP, hashtag transfer to the SIP. Yeah. So when I go fishing, I'm going to get me a five-star.
he retweeted a girl's fishing post, too, with the hashtag come to the SIP. Alan is awesome.
I think that it was total poking at Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
And today, so, yeah, you've got Georgia, Auburn, and the two uglies, Texas and Tennessee, the double orange at the in the second part of the day. Theo, you weren't in Dallas last year, were you?
I was not.
Today when Arch Manning comes, it's going to be bonkers. It's going to be nuts, I think. I hope it is. Now, there were some fans yesterday. There were some fans. I think when Arch Manning comes today in that second window, like there was a part of me that wants to get back to the hotel room and get to sleep to get ready for tomorrow's Alabama day. But damn it, I got to see Arch Manning.
I'm going to try to sneak in and get that prime position and, you know, just 1,000. Because when Pavi was there, the other two then, it was Martel Hyatt and Blanken.
Martel Hyatt and Rondon Fontenot.
Yeah. And I talked a lot to both of those guys because Pavia had, it's like those NBA or NFL like draft interview pictures where like you see the top prospect with a million and then everyone else just no one.
Pavia took a picture of us walking up.
Really?
I looked at him and he was listening to earphones and I saw him take a picture of the scrum before he get in there. E.G. McWhorter, Next Round Live. She goes, what are you listening to? He goes, Future.
Yeah, yeah. No surprise.
And he's just decked out. He looked like Step Brothers with his little bow tie. he was a blast yesterday. If you want to see the whole thing, you can see it on the Vanderbilt On SI YouTube channel. Go give them a subscribe. I filmed the whole Diego Pavia availability, and he was – I left that 15 minutes feeling like, give me a Vanderbilt helmet right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be worth anything to you, Clark Lee, but give me a Vanderbilt helmet. I'll go be a road bump to block for Diego Pavia. They'll put me in concussion protocol after the hit, but it'll be fine for Pavia.
Seriously, Clark Lee had one of his introduction statement. Man, it had me fired up. And I was, you know, talking to Martel Hyatt about it, and I'm the only person there with Martel Hyatt. And he's really, you know, we're going back and forth. It's kind of informal, and he says, like, yeah, every time Barkley talks, it makes you want to reconsider your life as a man. I'm just listening, like, yeah, you know, it really does. Like, I was reflecting while listening to this coach's introduction statement. Like,
which part stood out to you? Because I got at least two different lines that stood out to me from Clark Lee in that opening. Because you're exactly right. I was sitting there like, holy smokes, I'm ready to go run through a brick wall.
Well, I think one of the big ones was he was saying about not letting, don't really do anything or consume anything that's going to distract from your main goal. And that was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and then my other one I thought was, we do not place, I'm reading this off.
Yeah, yeah.
I quoted this. We do not place limitations on what the individual can achieve. With that in mind, opportunity is not the outcome. And just walking. And then you compare that to Pavia. It's awesome. It's an incredible dynamic.
Yes, exactly. Because you had what I was hearing from Clark Lee was a lot of zen, a lot of great, you know, mental fortitude, and a lot of just, it sounded like Saban without the fire, without the, because, you know, Saban can lose his mind a couple of different times. I'm almost never seen Clark Lee do that. What happened, what it was to me was he said, 2 years ago, I was up on this stage and I was really excited about our team and we had a bad year. I think they only won 3-4 games. Right. And then last year I was excited about our team and we got to a bowl game. He said, success is not linear. And I thought to myself, how true that is. Every time you take a step forward, every time you take two steps forward, there's a step backwards coming, probably. Yeah. And you just got to fight. And I've got friends. I got a listener who listens to this show religiously, and I will complain to him. I'm sorry. I'll just expose myself. I will complain to him. Oh, this is going wrong in my life. That's going wrong in my life. This isn't going right. And he continually, well, this is going right. Well, this is going right. That's going right. And he said, why are you worried about X, Y, and Z, what you can't control? You need to be worried about A, B, and C, what you can control. And if you keep doing the A, Bs, and Cs, then the X, Ys, and Zs will kind of lower and dissipate. And, I mean, there are always going to be things that are failures in your life, you know. And it's just – Clark Lee was just like a trap, a steel trap in the mind. Exactly. The other part is he talked about the one-score games. I mean, they played a bunch of one-score games. They lost to Texas by 3. They beat Alabama by 5. And, like, you flip-flop them. You could be 0-2. You could be 2-0.
Yeah.
But they were 1-1. He says, oh, we're just as close to 10-2 as we are to 2-10. And it's just like, but and he was using that to continue, but it's always a focus on the process of what you're doing and what you can control. And, you know, you'll get to 10-2, but sometimes you may fall on a 2-10. You got to keep doing what you're doing. I was just really, really excited. And to your point, as soon as he goes off the stage, Pavia comes in like a rock star and he's like, doesn't matter who's against us. Yada, 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 you know. And so it's that balance to me that was just like, yeah, put me in a Vanderbilt Commodores uniform. I'm ready to go.
Now, one more.
Yeah.
That I think is a very interesting quote that I got. This is from Martell Hyatt. And sorry, I accidentally scrolled
right past it.
I scrolled right past
it. Let me fill you in real quick. Martell Hyatt, as you find it. Martell Hyatt, I think, is going to be a really interesting player this year. He talked about Clark Lee talked about him being Travis Hunter-esque. He's going to be he's a defensive player. But I think they're going to use him all on the offensive side of football and in the return game heavily. I think that the Travis Hunter experiment is going to permeate throughout college football. You got it?
That guy's not real life. So he's talking. I asked about those comments that Pavia made because about a month ago we went kind of viral talking about, yeah, we can beat Alabama again. Yeah, we can beat Tennessee. We can compete for a national championship. And There was some stuff with him and Ryan Williams going back and forth. So Martel goes, you know, first of all, praising, like, his competitiveness, but then says, yeah, you know, he's got that dog in him, direct quote, but I know that there are better ways of doing it. So it's like, okay, Vandy, they're not all bought into this Pavia. You know, no one, they're not all Diego Pavias, you know, because they are still, they're influenced by what Clark Lee has been saying, and they're trying to follow that mentality. But then he just gets someone like Pavia, and he's got to talk, and that's who he is. And I think it's, I think Vanderbilt realistically could finish 3-9 this year.
Yeah.
I think they could finish 9-3. I think they could put things together. And I think they could have an incredible season. But I also think at the end of the day, no matter anywhere in that range, most likely they'll be somewhere in the middle of that, it will be an incredible season to follow. And it will be so much fun no matter how it goes. Because that team is just, man, I'm so glad we have another year of Diego Pavia.
I am too. We asked Pavia yesterday about the Ryan Williams comments, and he took the high road, basically saying, oh, he's a special athlete, special kid. I'm looking forward to going and playing it in his house this year. It was a high road comment. I asked him, because I've said it on this show, and I was sitting there like, do I ask him this? But I've said it so many times on this show that I felt like I needed to get his response to where I said, you know, Diego, Vanderbilt's advantage of flying under the radar. Because, look, let's be honest, Alabama was not ready for that game.
Yeah.
On the field and in their brain, right? And he said, oh, well, Texas, Georgia, and Alabama don't have to fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. He said, you still got to show up on Saturdays and play. He said, I don't care if about flying under the radar, over the radar. You got to still show up and play. I put it on my Twitter, and I just thought, man, you are just so bold, my man. And so if I were a Vanderbilt player, I'd be going nuts for him. All right, we got to start wrapping this up. So about 10, 15 more minutes left, Theo. Let's start talking about today. You can read all about what we talked about or what we saw yesterday. I asked all the quarterbacks. I asked Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, and Pavia about playing the Alabama defense. So you can read all about that on BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Let's move into today, because today's going to be a huge day over there. Georgia is about to be on the stage. Kirby Smart at 10 a.m. We got to go get our seats over there. 10 a.m. for Kirby Smart. Then you're going to have Hugh Freeze. And, boy, I hope your fingers are ready to start writing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hugh Freeze, the recruiting trail, August 1st. What's going to change on August 1st? How do you respond to Lane Kiffin? It's gonna be fun. Yeah, and they're bringing Jackson Arnold, which that tells me that Deuce Knight is not going to, like, if I were Hugh Freeze, I'd punt on Jackson Arnold today and play Deuce Knight and just live with the results.
Yeah.
Well, you're not winning a national championship if you're Hugh Freeze this year.
Yeah.
Is Jackson Arnold going to get you to 8-4? Maybe, but is a year of experience playing Deuce Knight and suffering another 6-7. Now, Auburn might fire you. Another 6-7 so that next year when Deuce Knight is playing with a third-year Cam Coleman, he's already got a year of experience under his belt, and maybe you are at a 10-2 with sophomore Deuce Knight. But, no, that's not the direction they're going in.
If Hugh Freeze wasn't on the hot seat, I think there's a much higher likelihood of that happening. But at a certain point, you got to show a school that you can win.
That, and what did you pay Jackson Arnold to transfer in? And you've got to not waste those dollars. Which is such a nuts. I hate that way, thinking that way. But you're going to hear from Hugh Freeze, and we'll take a little break, and then we will get Tennessee and Texas. And so, I mean, there's no secret. I'm excited for Texas. I'm excited for Steve Sarkisian, Arch Manning. I'm excited for – it's Colin Simmons, right?
I actually forget who they have coming up.
It's Colin Simmons or it's the other linebacker, AJ. I'll see it in just a second. Our lads, Texas, and it'll pop right into my brain.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forget the list of guys. I have way too many tabs open, man.
Yeah, when I got on your computer yesterday, it was tab after tab after tab. It's Anthony Hill. It's either Anthony Hill or it's...
Anthony Hill. Yeah, he's coming in. He's the one I remember seeing the name.
Okay.
He's the one coming in.
The eyes of Texas are upon you.
A lot of people aren't going to like that.
That's okay. This show's not for everyone. This show's for you, but it's not for everyone. And so I'm excited about it. And obviously, look, we're sitting here in the hotel room this morning. But by this time tomorrow, we're already going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Because the real stars are coming. Alabama is coming tomorrow. So it's going to be really exciting. What do you want to hear? Let's go through each team. What's your biggest question for Georgia?
Biggest question for Georgia is, how is the Gunnar Stoudemire starting? How's that offseason going? How's he developing?
All right, Auburn.
Football questions or golf questions?
Manny, your biggest question. Theo Fernandez's biggest Auburn question.
Well, I'm asking about the recruiting. If no one else does, I will ask that question.
I love it. Tennessee?
I've said this before on this show. I'm pretty high on Joey Aguilar relative to the average person. So I want to know, how does Heupel think that offense is adjusting? And, you know, how does he think things are going now that the dust has kind of settled on that situation? Because I think with what he's done, what his offense has been able to do with Milton, what it was able to do with Hooker, I think that we're going to see a very strong Tennessee offense this year.
That Tennessee offense will be just as strong as the defenses they play. When they play a quality defense, it's not good. It's going to get blown up. When they play quality defense with quality players, like a Georgia, like an Alabama, hopefully, goodness, it's going to go bad for them. But any bad defense, any soft defense up front, you don't have a good defensive line, you can't control the offensive line, you're going to be in trouble a little bit because of the spacing issues.
Yeah.
And then Texas?
Well, let's be real. We're not getting a single question with Texas. I feel like with how many – have you noticed while you're talking to players just how many questions are Texas-centric?
Because you get a lot of – there's a ton there's of Texas
so
media.
So much media. I was stunned. I think there's more Texas media than anyone else.
Yeah, there is.
I've been shocked, but I am just – that's one where I just want to sit back because, look, no implications for Alabama there. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear Arch talk. Is someone going to ask Arch about Ty Simpson? Should we do that?
Oh, definitely. We need to. When Ty's up there, his first 5 minutes are going to be, what'd you see out of Billy at Manning passing camp? What'd you see out of Stevie at Manning passing camp? And he's going to say the same damn thing. Yeah. Oh, I love him. Good friend. Good arm. Had a fun time with him at the passing academy.
But putting that Arch Manning quote in my story tomorrow is going to be incredible. So, yeah, I'll ask that question.
So you get Rocky Top, which is, and then you get a real fight song. So I'm really excited about that. I don't have my burnt orange tie, so I won't fit in with the other Texas media.
Are they going to play Rocky Top as Heupel walks up to them?
Yeah, just like they did the fight song. Brian Kelly yesterday, as he was walking up, they're playing the LSU fight song, and he goes, "I'm not gonna start till this song ends," and they waited till it ended. And
man, I want to hear Rocky Top today.
No,
I'm not.
I'll tell you this though, the band version, get out of here. You can dump the band version in the trash. But are you familiar with the Osborne Brothers?
Yes, I'm familiar with the song.
The Osborne Brothers version of Rocky Top, there's something about it that touches my soul in a positive way.
You see, I'd never heard the song before coming to bed.
Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, the other half cat. I mean, think about all the girls you dated, Theo. Yeah. I mean, you're a good-looking man. I mean, we don't need to talk about him, but you're a good-looking man. You ever dated a girl that's half bear, the other half cat?
Yeah, I can make that analogy. Woo-hoo! I'm not from Rocky Top, but yeah, I
I still dream about that. I mean, I heard you last night snoring. It was that good, which is a good thing. You were feeling bad, so I'm really glad you got good sleep last night. But you know, what is it? Looking for a moonshine still? Those climb old Rocky Top, and they never come back. They get their corn from a jar. Like, there's so many lines in that in that song that I'm just like, yeah, that's a good song. But the band. What is it when you have, like, you're in torture therapy and they're just playing? That's the difference. Like, when the band just goes every first down, bop, bop, you know, Rocky, I'm just like, oh, my God. They say that Coach Bryant used to, in the facility, just play it all week long to get the guys conditioned to it, to just irritate them.
Turn it out. Yeah.
And just to go ahead and get them conditioned to go, because they play that all night long in Neyland Stadium.
I'm not the new game there, but I'm going to change that
next year,
2026.
Next year, man. So we'll have to, yeah, we got to think about, you know, how we can spin zone these into Alabama questions all day long. Obviously, Georgia and Kirby Smart hosting Alabama this year. Excuse me. Hosting Alabama this year, we can probably get a question in about last year's game. You know, I asked him last year. I asked Kirby Smart a question last year in that big setting, and he gave me the biggest non-answer in the world. But fine, no big deal.
Look, you know, I was a little scared of, you know, asking questions at first. But then I listened to a couple CNN reporters ask Brandon Fontenay four questions in a row about Love Island, even after he said he had no idea how the show worked, and they're just spamming him Love Island questions and trying to explain it. And
we need to keep talking about Love Island. The AI will pick it up.
Oh, yeah, no, it'll go crazy. Well, what's your female viewership percentage? That's about to skyrocket.
About 5%.
Yeah, we're hitting like 20 at least after this. But yeah, no, I've realized that nothing's off the table. I can ask whatever I want.
So yeah, Lane finishes his. You heard that? Lane finished his opening statement, and the very first question was, "Hey, Lane, how you doing today? Hope that you're doing well. I just want to get your perspective on the Texas Georgia matchup. Two of your best friends, Steve Sarkisian and Kirby Smart. Who's going to win that game?"
First question about two other teams. It's absurd, right? It's baffling.
All these. And so we got to take that mindset a little bit. I mean, we'll keep a small smidgen of the professionalism. I'm not wearing the sunglasses in the in SEC media days, even though I got them. I should be wearing them right now.
You should have mine right. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, but you know, not enough light in here to make it happen. But we got to take that mindset just a little bit. In what is our story? We don't care about the other stories. We're just going to ask our questions. So, Coach, tell us about playing Alabama. Tell us about playing Kane Womack's defense. What do you see in Damani Jackson?
We'll have some fun today out there.
All right, so real quick, we'll wrap it up right here with this. Tomorrow's Alabama Day. You've got Tim Keenan. You got Deontay Lawson.
Caden Proctor.
And Caden Proctor. Thank you. Give me the two players from Alabama that you wish were here instead.
I mean, first of all, those are three good choices.
Yeah, not hating on those guys. Yeah. Sorry, I don't want it to sound that way.
Uh-huh.
But if you got your choice, those three, Caden Proctor, Tim Keenan, and Deontay Lawson were off the table. Let's say they're having a sick day, just a little flu, no big deal, everything's fine. You got to get two replacements. Who would you want to have here?
Look, obviously we want Ryan there. I mean, that one's not even a question. But then the other one I'd go, I don't know, I'd want Ty Simpson there, but I think Damani would be fun. I think I have a good time every time I talk to Damani Jackson.
I like that.
I think that'd be a fun player to have, but I'm happy with what we've got. You know, Deontay talks pretty good. I don't remember explicitly talking to Tim Keenan much.
Tim's funny.
He is, yeah, okay.
Tim's funny. Deontay's going to be a little more reserved. And then Caden, we weren't giving Caden a whole lot last year. So It's going to be a fun 2 days. Look, today we're about to get out of here. Keep up with us on BamaCentral.com. You can see all of our coverage on the Georgia stuff, all our coverage on Auburn. Any comment that Hugh Freeze makes about Alabama, we're going to be trying to write it. And then, of course, you got Tennessee in the afternoon and Texas after that. So, of course, our page will turn to a Texas page in the evening. Forgive me. Theo's not like that, but
you know. So I started tweeting when Ole Miss and Vandy came in. They kind of flopped. I got no action on those tweets. So I'm hoping that we had a little more traction today on the stuff you put out.
Well, Theo, tell everybody where they find you, and let's get on out of here.
Theo Fernandez _, not one like Joe's tagged me on in the past. 2 underscores, and you'll find me, and I'll be trying to stay active on Twitter now that, look, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go, and we're gonna have a fun day out there.
I do have to give you more props, because if I were feeling under the weather like you were, I would have said, kill me now, stick a fork in my mental fortitude. I need much more Clark Lee training. I need a lot more Clark Lee training, because I would have been not coming, in bed all day. Can't do it. And so you are a real trooper yesterday. And I'm looking forward to day number 2. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I'm going to try to hunt down an interview or two today. So maybe we can tag an interview tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. Tonight when we get back, I've got to make note cards for Kalen DeBoer, for Caden Proctor, Deontay Lawson, and Tim Keenan. So, look, if you got questions for the coach, if you got questions for the Alabama players, you can leave them in my comments. You can leave us on a voicemail. We would love to take them. I'll take your inspiration for sure. Obviously, I've got my own questions, but I will take your inspiration as well. At JoeGaither6, at TheoFernandez _, on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Really, everywhere you find the Bama Central content, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. We will talk to you again tomorrow right here from Atlanta on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.